Praise the Lord. Glory, thank you again, for the time of rejoicing, singing before the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, the Bible says, Lord, and tonight, that scripture is fulfilled in the name of the Lord Jesus and our name. Thank you for the wonderful testimony coming through our brother. Thank you because you love us so much. You care about us, Lord. Casting all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Give us confidence, any place, anywhere, any day, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Now, a little time to spend in the Word right now, Lord. Father, bless the reading of Your Word, Lord. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
By God's grace, we're going to round off this series of the gifts of the Spirit. We began many weeks ago by establishing from the scripture and from history that the gifts of the Spirit are for today, just as it was in the beginning, the day of Pentecost and the early church. And we know the Lord is coming for that church. When the Lord comes, we meet a church.
Amen.
That is fully restored back to the foundation.
Amen.
And we meet, like he said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth? Among the elect, we find faith. Full restoration of the church to where it was before he left. And we believe that with all our hearts. And I got through the different series. We went through the guidelines. Last time, the guidelines about receiving the gifts of the Spirit. We are able to say many things. And there are just like, the Holy Spirit Himself, when we become Christians, we receive the Spirit of Christ. We mentioned that, Bible says in the book of Romans, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, it's none of his, right?
Yes.
So, but we know that it's a fuller experience of the same Holy Spirit, like you have a glass of water, right? It can be half full, can be one third full, and have a full glass, right? So when we receive Christ, we receive the Spirit of Christ. But as an experience, which is called a baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is a fuller experience, so we establish that even if you don't even have a full baptism, you can still manifest some of these gifts. And we brought out by the Spirit of the Lord, the disciples, for example, for the day of Pentecost, right? Even tonight, we will mention some of them. In Matthew chapter 10, He sent them out. And, heal the sick, cleanse the leper. These are gifts, right? Raise the dead, right? The day of Pentecost has not come at that time. Christ was not yet glorified. And yet they did all those things, right? So therefore the Spirit of God, there are only those who don't have the full baptism of the Holy Ghost, there are some gifts they cannot manifest, like the speaking in different kind of tongues, and interpretation of tongues, or even discerning of spirits. You're not able to do that. But for wisdom, for example, how can you see the gift of wisdom, right? So we know that. So tonight we're going to wrap it up by saying that, everything God does, that we counterfeit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring that out, and this needs not to make us to be afraid. That's what we mentioned before in Luke chapter 11. So even the people of the world, being who they are, when their children ask them for bread, right, doesn't give them stone for bread.
Yes.
Or when they ask for for fish, they don't give them serpent. And if they ask for egg, they don't give them scorpion. How much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them, or good things, rather, to them that ask Him, So we don't need to be afraid of anything. But what to be sure that, what to mention that this thing is there, out there, has been there. Like you have a genuine dollar, and a counterfeit dollar too, So, and Satan is a counterfeiter, He cannot create anything. He's just a polluter. So tonight, counterfeit gifts of the Spirit. Counterfeit, we talk about the good things, right? So about the counterfeit gifts of the Spirit. This is a very, very important subject for the days we are living in particular, to know these things and so on. As we seek the things of God, and we are told often and often that we should covet earnestly the best gift, God wants each creature to manifest one gift or the other. So we talk about that also during our series, So we have to be mindful of what tonight, what we're talking about, the counterfeit gift of the Spirit. Now, for many people, they take for granted that every manifestation that resembles the operation of the gifts of the Spirit must be genuine. That's wrong, really, That's really wrong from the scriptural point of view. Yet the scripture straightly warns us that we are to try the spirit, for not every spirit is of God, really. 1 John 4, 1 through 3, we read that. Even the other spirit, like the Satan and so on, that you know, and or evil spirit and so on, and you know, we mention this kind of thing and so on, that you know. Now, 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. So we know that. So and the Lord himself warned us that as the days of the great tribulation draw near, there will be false prophets arising, showing even great signs and wonders. That's in Matthew 24:24, and I will take to read that one also. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonder, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, he says, I have told you before. Even the book of Revelation, if you remember back then when we did the book of Revelation, shows that at that time, meaning that the great tribulation, spirits of devils will go forth, showing forth miracles and deceiving the whole world. Revelation 16, 13 says this. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles. See that? Spirit of devils working miracles. And which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. The Bible says, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So, now, lay a foundational idea, counterfeit gifts of the Spirit. In view of this warning, there can be no doubt that the gifts of the Spirit can be imitated with the result that some, perhaps, many will be led astray, you know. So because of all this warnings in the Bible, that with the Lord began, you know, begin to say himself, the apostle said the same thing by the Holy Ghost, and the book of Revelation said the same thing. Just as the voice of the serpent deceived Eve at the beginning, even to Satan through his false prophets, continues to the present day to allow many into paths of deception and error. Yet there is no real excuse that these things should be so among the people of God, or is not anybody at all who is a Christian. Why? Because the scripture provides full information on how we can discern between the true and the false. We just read one scripture at the beginning. So those who apply themselves prayerfully, you see that, to the study of the word of God will never fall victim of these deceptions. So God's word is it, you know, that will help us to escape this near, subtle near of the devil and so on, you know, imitating God's gifts, deceiving the people and so on. Let's go to the Bible, both Old Testament and see the New Testament, and see this thing we have touched before in other series, maybe like in the kingdom of the devil and so on, but tonight, you know, tonight we touch it again in a way. So let's see the magicians and Moses. Perhaps the most striking illustration of the ability of Satan to imitate the work of God is provided in the story of Moses. And we all know the story of Moses. We won't go into detail, we just kind of paraphrase. God had given the prophet Moses authority to execute judgment upon the land of Egypt. The Lord gave Moses the sign of the rod and the serpent. So in Exodus 4:3, when Moses cast the rod upon the ground, it became a serpent. This was a sign that the Lord told Moses and Aaron in Exodus 7:9. So I'm just naming the verses and paraphrasing them to save time. So this was the sign, meaning the rod and the serpent, that the Lord gave Moses and Aaron in Exodus 7:9 to demonstrate before Pharaoh when he asked proof of their authority. You know, it always happens. New Testament, the apostles were told, working miracles and so on. Tell us by which authority you work these miracles, you know. You see, the same thing like in the old time. This Peter is Satan, right? And people are people, you know. So, and Peter to tell them, do you know, all of you, that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know, do we do all these things and so on, that, you know. Oh, don't preach in that name anymore, you know. Anyway, that will test Moses too. By which authority do you do all these things and so on, that, you know. So, that's the proof. And then, in Exodus 7:10, Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, did as the Lord had commanded them, and the rod turned into a serpent. But what happened now? Talking about catastrophe, right? In the 11th and 12th verse of that chapter 7 of Exodus, the magicians cast their rods down too. And lo and behold, they also became serpents. You know? So, and how then do we know the possible, how do we tell which miracle is of God? And which one is of the devil? See how do we tell? But God will always make himself clear, right? So the answer to that question is what happened next. Aaron's rod swallowed up the magician's serpent, amen? Praise the Lord.
They're looking for the
other
rod.
I'm sorry?
They're looking for the other
rod. Where is it? Yeah. So the God will always make himself clear,
amen,
that Satan is no match to the power of God. Any place, anywhere. Praise the Lord. When God children know what they are doing. Spiritualists and the sorcerers today are able to perform many mystifying acts. We know that. Including even materialization and dematerialization. We touched on this thing before in that satanic kingdom and it's sorcery is the art of producing false miracles such as materialization and dematerialization. Such, however, we know, pertain not to the Spirit of God. We know that. And we know that, for example, something is common to both us and the truth. So, when Elijah and Elisha created oil, for example, Elijah created, you know, the little cruse of oil and a little flower, whatever that woman had, and so on. When they multiplied them, they were real, right? They even lasted throughout the famine and the drought, you know. Of course, the woman and the oil, you know, when Elijah said, go and borrow vessel, not a few, right? And then when you lock yourself up, you need to pour the oil, and so on. At the point, and it was free, it was there. They are able to sell it and pay the creditors and live on the rest of them, right? But what happened to the sorcerers? When they do something, they don't stay. They don't stay. We know that, and so on. Divine power swallow up the magician serpents, right, in Moses' day. Sorcery may imitate a creative miracle. You know, they may, it's an imitation, right? But its miracles are illusionary and not real. They are illusions, you know, and they're not real, you know. Satan does not possess the true creative power. He cannot create anything. It's an illusion all the time, you know. The magicians, with their sorcery, kept on trying, you know, more and more on Moses and Aaron. In Exodus 7:19-21, Aaron took his rod and stretched it out over the waters of Egypt, and it became blood. The magicians tried their enchantments too. They could not counteract the plague, but they were able to imitate what had been done. So, in 8 of Exodus, verses 5-6, to save time, Pharaoh hardened his heart and so on, and would not even repent. So another judgment come on him, the plague of the frogs. Once again, the magicians were able, by their enchantment, to imitate what Moses and Aaron did and done. But the sorcerers were nearing their end now. Satan always come to his end all the time. See? And he gets stuck somewhere, he can't continue and so on. They are nearing the end of their resources. There the next plague was plague of lies. Here the magicians failed in their attempts to imitate the magician, the miracles of Moses, you know. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lies, but they could not. So, yeah, were lies upon man and upon beast all over Egypt, right? And then, in verse 18 of Exodus 8, 18 and 19 verses, we read that the magician said unto Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said before. The Lord knew who was hearkening. Bible says he needed, he hardened his heart, right? So his own destruction and so on, that you know. So anyway, so the magicians now recognize that the judgments were the finger of God, really. The perverse self-willed Pharaoh, however, stubbornly refused to repent or change his course. What would this sign, what would this sign the magicians produce, teach us that we are reading tonight? What is it? They reveal that Satan has a certain degree of power. That's what we are learning. However, they reveal that Satan, is an imitator, really, you know. He can imitate some of the gifts of God. Therefore, we must be alert to Satan's deception. Because otherwise, he plays, and so on. Nevertheless, there is a definite limit to what Satan is able to do. That's what we are so put in our mind. So, we have to be running around, running around for him. Bible tells every Christian, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's for every Christian, right? So, resist the devil, and he will flee from the book of James. I believe it is, you know. And he will flee from you. Today, contrary, Christians are running away from the devil. It ought not to be so, brethren. Praise the Lord. And so Satan is in no sense all powerful at all. He can only go so far. You know, only God has the attribute of omnipotence, amen? Amen. He is omnipotent, he is omniscient, he is omnipresent. Satan has none of those attributes. Rather, omnipresent, he is not. He can you know, delegate his power into every nation, like the king prince of Persia in Daniel's day, and that, you know, only God has those attributes, you know. So Satan doesn't have it. Now, another issue we can have is this, is human failure and evil spirit can interfere with the gifts of God, even in the life of a believer. So, human failure or errors and evil spirits can interfere with the working of the gifts of God in the life of a man. So, can the men who have this supernatural ministry fail God? Well, people are prone to suppose that a man, as long as he is manifesting a gift, can do no wrong. See, that's what people think, you know? And that's not true, really. Some seem to even go so far as to suppose that this person is practically infallible because it's in the kind of a ministry or having some kind of gift, you know, and they go that far. But the true prophet of God will tell you, look, I'm not infallible, you know. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. Anyway, though we should extend honor to the gifted ministers of God who are true ministers in these offices, this is not an excuse for us to shut our eyes and surrender our discretion or part of discretion to the point at which we cannot recognize wrong when it exists. You know, yeah, you're not all the prophets of God and all ministers of God, but when an error exists, we don't just shut our eyes and use our power of discretion, you know. And so anyway, just put that one in there. So a man ministering the gifts of the Spirit is just as accountable to God and man as anybody else. Amen. Everyone will get account of himself before Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we don't always fail to talk about accounting to God, to the Christian. We are not going to be judged for our sins. He bore our sins. Amen. It's a question of reward. Praise the Lord. Judgment seat of Christ, you know. So anyway, it should be understood that because a man goes wrong, It doesn't mean that, you know, the gift of God will no longer manifest in sin through him. Doesn't mean that, you know. So, it may be wrong. Doesn't mean that the gift will cease right away, you know. So, you know, so, in fact, the thing is that we are told in Book of Romans at 11:29 that the gift and the callings of God are without repentance. So, when a minister having a gift does wrong, you know, doesn't mean that the gift will just cease right away like that, you know. This is something that is hard for people to understand. Oh, but he did wrong. He had the gift. Yeah, God allow it. The gift and the callings of God are without repentance. So, they suppose that if a man goes wrong, that the Spirit of God will at once just cease manifesting himself in that man. Not really. Not really. We are going to bring out some many examples, you know. So, and that's why people are deceived, you know, after that, you know. In time. In years. But not, yeah, by as time goes on, that gift is totally ceased. But usually, not immediately, when they wrong, when they see and they don't repent, you know? So, yeah, the gift will continue for some time, and then, you know, now, a man with a sign gift ministry may actually have fallen into a state of disobedience to God and still continue his ministry for a time. I talked about the Bible, big examples, you know, and it happens today too, you know. So that's why people are confused. Oh, how come he had that miracle? How come he continued to do that thing? Because yeah, even though the people knew that he was sinning, they tell him sin. I said, but they had the gift, you know. Why? Let's see in the Bible, and then we see in the Old Testament. How about so this is clearly portrayed in the life of Saul, you know, who not only was king of Israel, but also was given a prophet's ministry. He was. Saul was given a prophet's ministry. In 1 Samuel 10, 6. Let's read that one very quickly. So we are telling that even people when they sin, and don't repent, the gift can still continue working in them for a while, you know? Or touch on something else, as you will see, you know? So in 1 Samuel 10, 6. And the Spirit of the Lord, Samuel told him, will come upon thee, and say he received not only the kingship, but also the ministry of a prophet, you know. And so Samuel told him, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, meaning with the prophet, and shall be turned into another man. Samuel told him. Verse 10 says, and when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, minister, and he prophesied among them. Wasn't only a king, but he was a king in prophet ministry too. See? Now, this is how this man progressed. To show that, now, unfortunately, no, Saul was an unstable character, really. Very, very unstable. Self-willed he was. Envious he was. You know? And a violent temper marked an erratic temperament in him. Eventually, the truth of the law departed from him. And an evil spirit took control. And his servants now, they saw what happened to him. They said, look, the person was afraid. They just turned into his face. Man, you're under demonic oppression. Let's get somebody to come and help you here, you know. And interestingly, they didn't even oppose to it, you know. And they agreed. So you can see in 1 Samuel 16, let's see that one. I was surprised. He wasn't proud. He knew that he was in trouble, right? You know. So even his servants notice his erratic behavior, demonic behavior, and they told him, and in 1 Samuel 16, 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant, you see that, said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubled thee. The devil told him, he didn't agree, you know, and let our Lord now command our servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. 23rd verse says, and it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took his harp and played with his hand So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him, like the servant told him it would be. It was so, you know. So anyway, let's forget with this man, see what happened to him. Nevertheless, it came to pass that after David had slain Goliath, a spirit of jealousy rankled in Saul's heart. See? You know, did he repent? And they opened the door to the return of the evil spirit. And we have many in the New Testament too. The man that was healed in John chapter 5, 38 years paralyzed, right? At that sea where the angels had the water and so on. So and the Lord healed him and so on. The next time the Lord will see it was in the temple. Or the Lord said, you are made whole now. Sin no more, lest what thing come upon you, right? Also, the woman caught in adultery, right? Lord, Master Rabbi, this woman was caught in adultery, right in the act, you know? And the Lord would say we should stone this woman. What said thou, Rabbi? You know what happened there? Anyway, you know, the Lord is... anyone that has no sin among the letting cast the first stone, and they all left one by one. Woman, as anyone condemned you, nay, sir, neither do I condemn you, the Lord says, but rather go and sin no more, right? So anyway, so the same thing apply here. So they didn't repent. So after you know the women and so on, they do that thing. They are 10,000, right? And you know, so 1,000, you know, jealousy arose in him and so on, you know. So and the evil spirit returned to him. And so that is in 1 Samuel 18:10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of his own house. And David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. See? Even another place, Bible says, when an unclean spirit leave a man and so on, he walks through dry places and seeking rest, right? And finding none, he comes to the festival and was cast out and said that it is the vacuum, he goes and brings seven other more wicked spirits, right? It's not about the Bible, right? You know, so the same thing happened to this man. Now, so what happened to him? So, and javelin in his hand now. So Saul, under the influence of this demon, became actually murderous, become murderous. He now sought to kill David. He's getting from bad to worse, right? You know? And in 1 Samuel 18:11, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David, even to the war with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Verse 12 says, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. See? So from that time on, evil propagated, meaning multiplied, you know, in Saul's life. He went from bad to worse, you know, all the time. Other demon oppression. Man that was gifted, right? Who prophesied with other prophets before? Can you see now? You know, so that is the lesson we are learning. So that's why in 1 Samuel 19:9 we are told, and the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. So let's leave Saul alone, you know, what the end thereof was for him, you know. So now, the gifts of the spirit and godly living. And we said last time when we were talking about this subject matter that, you know, the guidelines, you know, for seeking the gifts of the spirit, dedication to God, right? So we mentioned that particular aspect. So now, it is often assumed that any person in whom a gift of the spirit is manifest must be living a holy life. That should be assumption, right? You know, a holy life. But certainly, one so chosen to be, to have this gift, bears a great responsibility before the Lord to live a holy and separated life. That's what it's really called for. We mentioned that one last time too, you know. So unfortunately, you know, there are some who manifest genuine gifts, really, who afterwards fall into sin. And in so doing, bring confusion into the house of God. The same thing will be, how can you have this gift and doing all this, and you know, people even living in sin and manifesting the gift? How come, you know? So, and confusing, bringing confusion. to the household of faith. And we are going to bring out from the Old Testament and then one for, maybe two from the Old Testament and then one from the New Testament, then we close. And as to the possibility of such things happening, we need not look further than David himself. I mean, the sweet servant of Israel, a man in whom the prophetic gifts were manifest in a marked way, and whose psalms have provided inspiration to millions of people. See? You know, yet this inspired writer became guilty of the most flagrant conduct. You know what he did, right? With Bathsheba, right? He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and to cover up his deed, was a conspirator to murder in the death of Bathsheba's husband. A prophet, a king and a prophet. Can you imagine? Gifted, prophet, you know? And he committed adultery with Bathsheba. So we see that one. So where? God forgave David because he became deeply repentant for his sin, right? That's how merciful our God is, right? You know, but the consequences of his act were beyond calculation, as you can imagine. First of all, he brought reproach upon the cause of the law. He did. In fact, Nathan told him these very words in 2 Samuel 12:14. Without going also the details of how Nathan came to him, the prophet. But you see, I say he brought reproach to the cause of the law in 2 Samuel 12:14. Howbeit, Nathan said, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die, the prophet said, you know. So you see, yeah, because he repented, but look at the shame and reproach that he brought to the heart of. People are doing that today without even having any conscience, you know. They don't care the impact upon the household of God, you know. And they even take pride in it, you know. Open sin, you know, as well as, you know, God have mercy, you know. Number two, for the balance of his life, David paid the penalty for his misdeed. Treachery and betrayal occur in his own household. You know that Absalom and all those kind of things happen. David continued to manifest the ministry of a prophet. Despite all those things, right? You know, we are saying that doesn't mean that, I mean, that God's gift will just cease. Though even he repented, right? And we all know Psalm 51, right? How he made his confession and things like that, you know. But he paid a fearful price for his indiscretion, you know. So, now, there's another man in the Bible, even though he sinned, the prophetic is discontinued. Balaam, is another one. Balaam was an hireling prophet. He wasn't the first prophet to start with, only he was an hireling prophet. That's what he was, you know. Some of his prophecies, of course, to show he wasn't the first prophet, one of the most beautiful in the whole Bible, right? And we won't forget, all Bible readers know about Numbers 24:17, right? Here the prophecy, beautiful prophecy about Christ. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. I shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Chess. He said, you know, beautiful prophecy, you know, or rival in the Bible and so like that, you know. But what happened to him? Balaam besetting sin was his love for money. That was his problem. Money, love for money. You know, God forbade him to go with Balak. I mean, God forbade him to go to, don't go with Balak. Don't go, don't do it. And that's the Moabite king, right? Balak was the Moabite king. Don't go, God warned him, don't go with him. Who wanted him to cause the chain of Israel? That is in Numbers 22:12, and I read that. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not call the people, for they are blessed. So Balaam said that God will change his mind, right? No, he doesn't change his mind. He is the Lord, right? He doesn't change his mind, you know? Yes, because Balak promised him riches and honor. See, money. Howling prophet, right? He saw the Lord again. You gonna think God will change his mind? No. He has said, you know. You know, and again, for permission to go his way, where people in our faith to the permissive will of God, you know. God will tell you what he wants you to do. But why people are adamant, want to go their own way, they aren't looking for a second girl. I think God will change his mind anyway. So, but, you know, he thought, this thing brought Balaam neither riches nor honor at the end of it all. The prophet retained his position, like I said before, you know, as a seer, he did. But his ministry degenerated into soothsaying. That was happened to him. So when he don't repent, the Greek has continued to work for some while, but it turned into soothsaying. And the divination, as we read in Joshua 13:22 concerning him, I read that one in Joshua 13:22. Balaam, also the son of Beor, the soothsayer, from prophet to soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. So, was it the Spirit of God or the saving Spirit that was responsible for the soothsaying of Balaam? Divination, we are told in Acts 16, you know that damsel that was following Paul, and some of that, you know, is the work of familiar spirits, not the Spirit of God. So you are turned to something else because the sin didn't repent, right? You know. And as in the case of King Saul, the Spirit of God evidently departed from Balaam, and an evil spirit took his place. These are the things people looking for the God they should be watching about. It's a common error, both in the Old Testament and even in our days, you know. How about another man before we close here tonight? Samson. This was a man. And, you know, who was one of the judges of Israel. Was the judge in Israel. Even his birth was foretold by an angel, as we all know. God ordained him to be a Nazarite, meaning separated to God. Nazarite means separated unto God. It comes from two Hebrew words, Nazar, meaning separated, you know, unto God and so on. No alcohol, no drinking, don't cut your hair, you know, all those kind of things and so on. So that's how we know the story of something. So early in his life, God's spirit began to move upon something as his own in the camp of Dan. We can see that in Judges 13:25, and I read that one. And the spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshto. Another play by Judges 14:5, we are told the same thing, 5 and 6. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyard of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Talking about God's spirit coming upon him, that's where I'm going, verse 6. And the spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him, meaning the lion, as he would rent a kid, like a small goat, or something, just rent it apart, because God's spirit was upon him, and so on. And he had not seen his hands whatsoever, but his bare hand, but he told not his father and his mother what he had done. See the background, you know. And certain great supernatural strength enabled him to confound and put to flight Israel's enemies, meaning the Philistines, right? And his colorful exploits are familiar to every Bible reader. That's why I don't want to go and read all the verses that pertain to him. But he had one fatal weakness. What was it? Samuel continually ignored his Nazareth vow of separation unto God. See? And at one time, he visited an allot one night at Gaza. And that is in Judges 16. It's worth reading. And even yet the gift of God did not immediately fade in. Despite that, you know. And at midnight, he carried, let me see, in Judges 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an allot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and lay wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we will kill him. Right? We will kill him, you know. And verse 3 says, and Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts with it, and they went away with them, bar and all of it, you know, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Abram. See, it might seem to anybody casually looking at this, an observer, that his immoral conduct was being winked at by the Lord. I think the Lord just waved it off. Not really, you know, even though, you know, not really. But God, the thing is, God does not always collect his account the day evil is committed. That is the thing, you know. I'm not always, so given time and so on. But anyway, something now is similarly weakened by his consulting with Alos, now dallied with a treacherous woman, Delilah. See? Keep on going like that. And as a result of seduction, something permitted his heart to be shown, violating his maternal vow, right? Mm-hmm. What it is, you know? And what happened to him? Suddenly, his strength was gone. Having deliberately, it's a very sad story, isn't it? When you read this kind of story in the Bible, it's a very sad one, you know. Having deliberately played with fire, he became a victim of his folly. His eyes were put out, just to summarize and paraphrase that place. He had to grind in shame in the prison house of the Philistines. Alas, the Lord had departed for him. So I think it's worth reading Judges 16:20-21, and she said, in Delilah, after all this has happened, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson, and he awake. It's a terrible thing. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before. I shake myself, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with a fetters of brass as he did grind in the prison house. So we see now, yet the guilt had not altogether departed. Even at that point, the guilt had not departed. Despite all those things, see, not in the case of God's account and so on, you know. But what happened to him later? He was to perform one more great exploit before the end, you know. When at last, his hair had grown a little bit more, and he was brought before the Philistines to make a sport, the Lord, in answer to his prayer, allowed him to collapse the pillars of the Philistine temple, bringing death to about 3,000 men and women. That is about 27 of Judges 16. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lots of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that the head white something made sport. Imagine man of God became like that. Oh man, you know. Anyway, and the verse 30 says, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the Lord and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Well, I mean, you got one more exploit, but look at the tragedy really, you know. Yeah. And let's get the one that we close with this one in the New Testament. Who can it be? Judas Iscariot. See? And talking about how they can be gifted and going to sin and not repent and so on. That, you know, Judas Iscariot is a student example of a man who manifests genuine gifts of the Spirit and yet totally faced God completely. He was one of the 12 apostles, as we all know. In Matthew 10, verses 1 to 8, I don't have time to read all of it, in that chapter, and the Lord sends forth, all of them, disciples, He told them, he in verse 8, verse 4 mentioned his name. I don't have it here. Verse 4 mentioned his name among those who were sent out right there. Matthew 10:4. Then Matthew 10:8, and you are commanded, and Jesus was in there. The Lord sent them forth to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and even raise the dead. He was among them, you know. Even though we were not told or have no record of any particular miracle that Judas performed by himself, it is evident that all the 12 had success in the ministry. We know that, you know. So, and also, the 70 in Luke 10:17-20, who were sent forth, at a later time, returned to testify that even the devils were subject unto them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, I say that no record that we have no record that all the others succeeded more than Judas did. We didn't have any record. So he was did the miracles too, you know. And in fact, he must have achieved a certain prominence since he was elected the treasurer of the group. He was the treasurer. Remember that woman, Mary, that cleared the leg of the Lord, and wiped it with her hair, perfume, costly ointment, and so on. Let me read this in John 12, verse 4, to show you that he was the treasurer, you know. And here I got by John 12:4 says, then says one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, we should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? Always about money, right? And given to the poor. See? The same thing that Balaam did, right? Money, you know. This is said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag, you see, was a treasurer, and bear what was put therein. See? So none of the disciples apparently had the idea in the slightest manner that Judas was the one that would betray the Lord. In the 26th chapter of Matthew, 26th chapter, about 26-25, the Lord was asking them, you know, who should betray him? Every one of them. Even Judas himself was asking, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Nobody even knew anything until that hour. He'd been there throughout his ministry to the very last day, the last night. The Lord will be betrayed, you know. The gift was working. Anyway, so we see what happened to him right there. And even say more of that, we are told in the book of Acts, Peter said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 17, talking about Judas, for he was numbered with us and had obtained a part of this ministry. See, all these things are recorded about him, yet he betrayed the Lord. And after a fruitless repentance, went on to commit suicide, you know. So look at the gift, how it began, look at how it ended. So what are we saying? Certainly, this Bible example show that the gifts of the Spirit are not meant to be infallible proofs that man is living a life that is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. See, they can even sin, you know. And they also show that a man may continue on his own momentum. See? Can you imagine when you kick a ball that you force apply to it, right? There may be friction, but the wife can continue his own momentum. So they have this gift. People that departed from them can continue a while in their own momentum, right?
Yes.
So that's what the Bible is saying here. So in their own momentum for a season. But if he persists in his course of self way, his own evil will destroy him eventually, like Judas did. If he repents in time, God is merciful, like David did, God will forgive him, like David. And he may be unable to avoid the consequences of his wrong doing down the road. The Lord taught that a man's character is not to be judged by the gift he has, but by the fruit that he has, right? So by the fruit that they have. So he added that at the day of judgment, many will say that they prophesy my name, we even cast devils in your name. And all these things that God will say in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that walk in iniquity. So in closing tonight, this series and so on, it's just a lesson that we learn from the Bible. Not we should not be deceived by any of these things, but we ourselves, we seek the Lord for these things, you know, we have to be very careful to take caution. So what then is the true test of those who are, you know, who are genuine followers of Christ? The Lord does not leave us in doubt as to what the answer is. The true test is the fruit that is there, right? The last scripture I want to read as I close here is Matthew 7, about 15 to 17 verses. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. So the implication is clear, what the Lord is saying here. Even though a man may demonstrate unusual gifts, he is not to be followed unless he also manifests the fruit. Praise the Lord. And I will thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving us the guidelines, Lord God, showing up from the beginning that the gifts, they are gifts, just like the Holy Ghost himself is a gift. Bible says that it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that every Christian, Bible says, oh Lord God, is qualified to see this gift, Lord. And thank you for showing all the guidelines, different ways in which the gift has been imparted, some by the laying on of hands, you know, some by prophecy, we saw that in the Bible. And now tonight we see how that, you know, these gifts can be counterfeited, especially when a man falls into sin and do not repent. So tonight we pray across Christendom, many ministers and so on made this mistake. Even international ministers, we have heard it before. Lord of God, but we thank you for those who repented. And we are praying tonight for the rest of the body of Christ who has sinned, that they also will come to repentance. Let us see the David example in the name of the Lord Jesus. At the name of the Lord, we don't continue to be blasphemed among the heathen in the name of the Lord Jesus. And in our own lives, Lord of God, right in the midst of us, Lord of Father, as we pray for the revival, we believe this gift will play an important role in the revival we are praying for. I have never seen a revival where these gifts are not in full manifestation. In fact, they trigger the revival, you know. So therefore, as we pray, and that's in our midst, it shall come to pass in the last days, the Bible says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughter will prophesy, the Bible says, your men will dream. These are the gifts, you know. And then upon my handmaid, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And we are living the last days, Lord. Help us to be zealous, Lord. These are spiritual gifts, the Bible says. For be not to speak in tongues. I will that you all speak in tongues, but that you should all prophesy one by one, that all may learn. Let it be, O God, restored fully in our midst and in the church of God. Taking this caution, Lord. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Take some time, but we thank the Lord, you know, for his goodness.